draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm afraid. You are my desire. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take to feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way, bring me back to you.
Your name. Hallelujah. Right before the song ended, I was just thinking that the most powerful way that we can know or tell how close the Lord really is to us is when he speaks to us. When he begins to talk to us in whatever language he chooses, hallelujah, he can speak to us from his word. He can speak to us audibly. He can speak to us in dreams. He can speak to us through other people. He can speak to us through the prophets. And it has such an impact on me in knowing how close he is when he speaks to me. When he speaks and lets me know the answer to what I just asked him. How he speaks guidance and direction. Hallelujah. I'm seer evangelist Linda Caceres, and I'm honored and count it a privilege to be bringing this ministry, Gatekeepers Global Ministry, to you this evening. A platform that has been consecrated and dedicated to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't take it lightly. I was on a brief sabbatical, but now I'm back, hallelujah, to invite you to join me and my guests on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. I give God all the glory, honor, and praise for this broadcast tonight, for speaking this topic to me, for my guest speaker, Minister Michelle Wright, and for my friends that have joined us, that have streamed in or dialed in. I just give God all the praise, honor, and glory. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, Adonai Elohim, in the name of Jesus, Yahshua HaMashiach, we come before you, we humble ourselves, Lord, and we thank you. We thank you for your great grace. We thank you for leading and guiding us into all truths. We thank you, Lord, for backing up your word every time you speak to us. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift, you, Jesus. We thank you for drawing us to you, because your word says we can't come unless you draw us. We thank you for drawing us, Holy Spirit, to Jesus. We ask that you would draw our children, our grandchildren. Draw them for the first time, or draw them back to you, to the bleeding side of Calvary, to give up whatever has them bound, strengthen them to give it up, that they would make a total and deep commitment to you and walk with you and talk with you. Father, we thank you. We ask that you watch over the airwaves. Protect this broadcast as it goes forth to penetrate the darkness. We ask, God, that you would move by your Spirit, Lord. We dispatch angels right now through the first and second heavens to guard the frequencies of this broadcast, to cause every word, hallelujah, to upset the devil, to cause every word and the anointing to penetrate the darkness. Beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We invite you in to host this broadcast tonight. We invite you in to just sit and listen. We invite you in, Lord, to release your anointing upon us tonight and my guest, Minister Michelle Wright. As we bring forth your word with power, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day, how you got us through this day, Lord God. Excuse me. How you strengthened us to get to this place at this time. How you kept us safe over the highways, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Lord. And I give you praise. I bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Well, I want to thank all of you that have called in. And I want to let you know, those that are listening by way of streaming, that you haven't dialed in yet, but you are listening, that in order for you to put in a prayer request when it's time, you have to dial in 929-477-2442. And then when it's time that we're taking prayer requests, you press 1, and that lets me know that you have a prayer request that you want us to pray for right now on the air. So right now, I just thank God for that song, Draw Me Close to You. I want to be closer than close to the Lord, closer to him than anybody else. Hallelujah. That's what matters to me. And right before the broadcast, I was thinking about two dreams that I had last week. I wasn't praying about this. I thought I was going in the right direction. I was excited about school opening and returning to the school where I worked at last year. But the Lord gave me two dreams. And the second dream, I had to seek him for different parts of the dream. Because sometimes when he speaks to us in dreams, that's what he wants us to do. Because we don't wake up understanding everything. God does still speak in dreams. Doesn't have to be the pizza. You don't have to know right away. And it might be a dream that you totally don't understand. But when you ponder on it and a little bit of understanding comes to you a little bit at a time, you'll know that God has spoken to you. And it overwhelmed me because the two dreams that I have was giving me divine direction. I had already committed to working in that school again. It was already in the school system that I would be there every day for the next school year. And the second dream spelled out a whole lot more than the first dream, letting me know that I was not to return there. There were several things in the dream that the Lord had explained to me why he didn't want me to return there. And I understood that. But the very last part of the dream, let me see. See, in a dream, you can see the will of God. You might have to pray for understanding of what you see, but you can see the will of God. And the Bible says, blessed are those. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hallelujah. And when God gives you a dream, he lets you see what he's saying. You need to write that down. When God gives you a dream, he lets you see what he's saying. And the two dreams that he gave me last week were to let me know that he was giving me divine direction, that I was not to return to the school that I worked at all last year, but that he was leading me to another school. So when unexpectedly, when I was sitting on my sofa a couple nights ago, and it was somewhere after 8 o'clock, 8:30 p.m., the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, call those emails that have bombarded your email, letting you know that they're offering the same job with the same top pay. The first email that I answered was, are you all still hiring in that position? As late as it was at night that I thought, I didn't think I would hear from anybody until the next day. The principal's secretary returned an email within less than 5 minutes and said yes. And so by the next morning, I had the job. And the reason why I returned the response to them first is because a couple of the schools in the new area where I live now, I had to use my GPS to figure out how far I had to drive to get to them. And this one was the closest. It was less than 10-minute drive away. So I touched base with them first, and they gave me the job. Divine direction in a dream. It's up to you to obey. However God speaks to you, when he speaks, even from his word, that is an example of the Lord being close to you. Because he speaks to your heart. He speaks to your spirit. He speaks directly to you and he knows your language. You could speak French. You could speak Spanish. You could speak Armenian. You could speak Russian. He speaks to you in your language. He speaks to you on the level of maturity that you're on. He knows when you hear him, and he knows when you don't want to hear him. He knows when you have received what he says, and he knows when you don't. He knows when you feel apprehensive about what he said, because maybe that's not what you want to do. And he knows when you have heard him clearly. He knows when you pick up the phone and talk to somebody else about what he said. And 9 times out of 10, they stir you in a different direction. The Bible clearly says, my sheep know my voice. He doesn't say my goat. He says, my sheep know my voice. And a stranger's voice, they will not follow. A stranger's voice could be anybody, family, friend, foe, pastor, mentor, prophet, priest, that tells you something opposite of what God has told you, and you take their word for it. That's why we need to have a desire to be close to the Lord, because he can speak to us in a storm. He can speak to us in a crowded room. He could speak to your spirit no matter where you are, and you're not expecting him to speak. But he can capture your attention in a dream. And whatever you don't understand, like I didn't understand several parts of the dream that I was seeing in the dream. So being used to being a dreamer, I knew that God had to tell me what this meant, what that meant, what this meant, what that meant. And then in the final analysis, I knew what I saw myself do in the dream, that I was not to return to that school where I worked at last year. Really wanted to go back there. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I was blessed. So I just wanted to come from that angle of the Lord is close. Hallelujah. And I give him all the praise, honor, and all the glory. And believe it or not, he draws us close. Like the songwriter said, draw me close to you. That's what I like to sing every now and then. It makes me feel his presence. It makes me feel him. It makes me feel his embrace. It makes me feel loved. And when the Lord is close to you, it's an honor. You're honored that he's close. Hallelujah. So that's how I got this new assignment today. Same job description, top pay. And I went over to the school today on my way to another location, and I said, I just want to see where this school is. And it was very short. And I decided to park and go inside and meet the principal secretary that I was emailing back and forth to. And I stayed in there for a few minutes. She showed me a few things, and I will be going in a divine direction where God has led me on Monday to work. Isn't it a wonderful, overwhelming thing to know that God orders your steps, fine-tunes them? And God knows when he reveals his will to you whether you're going to obey or not. That's why we need to pray for an obedient spirit, because sometimes we place the voice of other people, we trust in what they say more than we trust in God's leading. So this evening, I just want to share with you where this broadcast is going to and where it has been going to over the last 8 years or more. And I want to give a shout out to these people that may not call in live tonight, but can use the link to go on demand and hear the broadcast completely. I want to give a shout out to Denmark and Portugal. This broadcast is reaching the outer limits, the countries that we never thought that that our voices would be heard in. Lithuania, Iraq, Cameroon, Australia, Poland, the Ukraine. We plead the precious blood of Jesus over these nations. We bind every weapon formed against Ukraine by the enemies that are harming them, coming from Russia. Satan, the Lord rebuke you, and the blood of Jesus is against you. We ask God that your holy angels, we dispatch them around the nation of Ukraine. The Ukraine people that are worshiping you through this storm, and the Ukraine people that don't know you yet. We ask for your mercy upon that nation, that you would give the president of Ukraine and the military wisdom in what to do, that you would send your angels to go to battle for them, that they would line the heavens and intercept the military rockets that come to destroy their land and their people, that the angels of the Lord would be dispatched in the heavenlies around Ukraine. We know that there's angels there already. And Father, we ask God that you would cause this nation to come out with victory. They've had great losses, but they've already had great victories. We ask that you would strengthen the president of Ukraine and strengthen the people. In Jesus' name we pray. We give a shout out to Romania and Bulgaria and Libya, Papua New Guinea, Mozambique, Uganda, Zimbabwe, Ethiopia, Spain, Myanmar, Burma, the Democrat Republic of Congo, and Italy. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for these nations that have joined us, that joins us
periodically that has joined us in the past. We give you all the praise, honor, and all the glory for them. And Lord, we know that only you have taken this voice, Gatekeepers Global Ministry, into these nations. We give a shout out to China and Mexico and Mongolia in the name of Jesus. We give a shout out to South Pacific, to the United States of America, to Australia, to the Netherlands, to Bangladesh, to Togo, France, Germany, and Ireland. We plead the blood of Jesus over these nations. Tobago, Norway, Iceland, South Korea, London, Canada, Israel, Republic of Serbia, Ghana, Sweden, Trinidad, Vietnam, Egypt, Thailand, Dubai, Tanzania, South Africa. We give a shout out to the Philippines and my spiritual daughter there, and the pastor, Earl Linda, that heads a powerful church in the Philippines that's out of my church here in Maryland. Kenya, Belgium, Pakistan, Malaysia, Nigeria, New Zealand, India. We give a shout out to those that would listen from Greece, Croatia, Somalia, Russia, Namibia, Argentina, Jamaica, Ivory Coast, Japan, Barbados, Nicaragua, Venezuela, Turkey, and Slovakia. We thank God that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being taken into these nations. Hallelujah. And that they're streaming in on demand. We honor the Holy Spirit tonight that draws these people in all these different nations to this network, to Gatekeepers Ministry International. God is faithful. Hallelujah. Again, I thank you for streaming in. After my guest speaker speaks, we will open the lines for your prayer requests. This has been a tough time for me. I've lost at least 3 besties in the last year and a half. I've gotten calls from parents that have passed, from dear friends that are missing their siblings. You know, God is close to the brokenhearted. And it seems like the only time that there's a broken heart is when there's a great loss. And I'm not talking about loss of money or any material things. Loss of a loved one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you can have a prayer request of any kind. And when it's time, you can press 1 and let me know that you want to give your prayer request, and I'll open your mic and we'll talk, and you'll share your prayer request with myself and Minister Michelle, and one of us will pray for you along with our listeners. There's so many ways that God can get close to us and is close to us, and I want to read Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3, if you have your Bible. Isaiah was a major prophet, and God used him mightily. He was not without sin. He needed his lips cleansed, and God did it. And God blessed him with a powerful anointing to speak on his behalf. So Isaiah 61 is about the good news of salvation. And Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." You can't get any closer than that. Have you ever felt that the Spirit of the Lord God was upon you? You know, the Spirit of the Lord God has to come upon you when you're asleep in order for God to speak to you in a dream. He can come upon you in your room while the TV's on. He could come upon you, and he doesn't just come and say nothing. And Isaiah says, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. All of us, when we weren't saved, we needed the good news. We are considered the poor here. And today, the people that don't know Jesus Christ yet, they need the good news brought to them. Isaiah says, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. That means that God is sensitive to what we're feeling, to what you're feeling, even right now. Isaiah said, to proclaim liberty to the captive. God wants us all free. When we accept Jesus Christ in our life, we're moving towards the greatest freedom that we've ever had. We become at that moment free from sin and death, hell and the grave. Things that have had us captive one by one will leave us. Healing to a broken heart. Healing from in of brokenness when we come to Christ. A lot of brokenness can draw us to Christ, can bring us to Christ. And Isaiah says, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. You know, you don't have to be in jail to be in jail. You don't have to be behind bars to be in prison. You can be imprisoned in your mind. You can be imprisoned in your emotions. You can. Things can affect you from the same direction, from the same group, from the same circle that tries to imprison you. The only way out of that is the freedom that Jesus Christ brings. Knowing that those people don't have to change. They may never change. They may always continue to do what they're doing. But God will make you free. The Bible says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Not that you have to forget about what's going on, but you can endure hardship as a good soldier, like the Bible says. And Isaiah says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. Hallelujah. A lot of people are mourning now. I'm just getting over mourning of a bestie that just passed. To grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy or gladness instead of mourning. God reveals to us through Isaiah that he gets it, that he understands. He understood John at the foot of the cross and his mother and Mary at the foot of the cross, hurt, devastated, brokenhearted, mourning at what they were seeing through her son and their savior. on the cross. That was a deep, in-depth mourning, a vociferous mourning cry at the foot of the cross that comes from a human being watching someone else in pain and being violated and disrespected and abused and finally deceased. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And Isaiah 53 talks about he was wounded for our transgressions, that the Father took pleasure in this happening for his Son, because of the result would be our salvation. Salvation offered to the Lord, the forgiveness of sin at the shedding of the Son of Adonai Elohim, Almighty God, the shedding of his blood. So I can see Isaiah 61, that the Lord is close to me. You should be able to see right now that the Lord is close to you. We should want the Lord to be close to our children, our grandchildren, our spouse, our neighbors, and our friends. And we should pray that about them. In Psalm 145, 18, it says, the Lord is close or near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. So I was communicating with my spiritual son, and I kind of wanted an explanation of what did that mean in truth, because I would never call on the Lord in any other way but in truth, because I know he's all-knowing, and I would never even think to call on him any other way. But Jesus knew that there are people that existed back then, and there are people that exist now that call on him not in truth. Jesus was sometimes not very subtle. His lack of diplomacy with hypocrisy was founded in the heart of God. In fact, Jesus is very hard on those who pretend to make God first in their lives and then do what they want to do. He even uses the word hypocrite when it is needed. God cannot stand it when we play like we're devoted to his will, and when we do what we like, our own will, what we want, or feel more comfortable doing what we want. Only his will is binding. Only his will matters. Our preferences are simply that, our own preferences. They are generally neutral unless we start replacing God's will with our preferences or prejudices, traditions, opinions. Easy to honor God with words, but he wants obedience, so our character will be conformed to his own. To do less is to do wrong. Hallelujah. Boy, have I come to see this happening in my own life with church leaders that I haven't seen them intentionally do what they want to do. If their circle agrees upon it, no matter what they know God told them to do, they ultimately do what they want to do. Just like Adam. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden. They did what they were persuaded by a strange voice to do. And look what happened. We might not think today taking that route would be as dramatical or as extreme as what happened when Adam disobeyed God. But disobedience is sin. It was sin then and it's sin now. Just being obedient in what God tells you can bring a multitude to salvation, can heal a body, can bring an answer to somebody's prayer. You just don't know that disobedience brings so much sin in your life, and it affects everybody around you. Suppose Noah was not obedient to God. They would have all drowned. Noah was obedient to God even in an old, old age. And nobody else believed him. God shows us so many examples in his word where he is close to us. People say, oh, I'm not sure if that's God. Well, don't tell anybody. Just get on your face before the Lord and say, Lord, make this more plain to me. Give me understanding. He's a great big God, and it's not always easy to understand everything he says. But he wants us to seek him for understanding of what he says. He wants us to come and say, Lord, explain this. I don't get it yet. I mean, God knew I had another whole week to start school. And he started the week before last telling me, I'm leading you in another direction. When he gave me the first dream, I didn't know that's what it was. But the second dream was a lot longer than the first and a lot more detailed. And I had no clue that the first dream meant I was not to return to that school where I was last year to work the next school year. So I just give God all the praise, honor, and glory. You can be innocently going in the wrong direction. But because of your prayer life, because you just shut it down and you worship God, because you're on the inside in your heart of hearts, you want a closer walk with the Lord, he will fine-tune your steps. He will show you. He will tell you and give you divine direction. The Lord is close. He's close to crack the sky for half the church, which represents the five wise virgins, to be caught up to meet him in the air. We could say a whole lot of things about what the other half is doing. But when the bridegroom comes, only that five that represents the remnant is going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And the other half of the church is going to be doing just what the foolish
versions were doing, wondering why they didn't get in. You better know you're ready. And if you're not, you can get ready. Every day we can be getting ready. You're only going to be identified by the fire of God, of the Holy Ghost that's burning on the inside of you. Hallelujah. If it's not, he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me. I just want one more thing. I just want to say that if we think about the books in the Bible and who the Lord became close with, I have down Ruth. Ruth wasn't even a Hebrew. She was a Moabite, came from a pagan nation, married into Hebrew blood. She lost her husband. Naomi lost her husband, and her two daughters-in-laws lost their husbands, which Naomi had three losses. She had to be the most brokenhearted of the three women that were left. And we know the story. And Orpah left, and Ruth stayed with Naomi because Ruth fell in love with Naomi's God. The Lord chose Ruth. Before the foundation of the world, out of a pagan nation, that she would find solace, that she would find peace, shalom, that she would find the love of Naomi's God in her life to stick with this woman, this old woman that had nothing anymore. Because she fell in love with Naomi's God. Isn't that something that you could, by the Holy Spirit, draw someone close enough in the proximity of your prayer life and what surrounds you in the spirit realm concerning the Lord God Almighty, that they would be drawn to your God because of the love that you exhibit to them that you have for your God. So Ruth and Naomi were two brokenhearted women that God blessed them. If you're not real familiar with the book of Ruth, it's not that long. Read it. And the blessings that God bestowed upon them. Jonathan had a blood covenant with David. And he became brokenhearted seeing how his father, King Saul, went after David to destroy his life, to get rid of him. Because Jonathan loved David. Job, brokenhearted. Satan bargained for the man in heaven, in the throne room of God. And God allowed him to do some things, but he limited him to do others. Even Job's wife said, curse God and die. But Job, experiencing everything, he realized himself that he was a broken man, that he was brokenhearted,
You know, some people want to try to make you feel bad, like God had to break you because you walked in pride, or God had to allow you to be broken because you did this or you did that. You ain't even my friend. One thing that Job allowed his friends to talk to him, stupid, but you ain't even my friend. You just looking afar from the situation. Don't even know me. And got something to say about why I'm broken. The Bible says that God loves, and I'm sure my guest is going to speak some on this, a broken spirit and a contrite heart. It's okay to be broken before the Lord. Hallelujah. In spite of what the naysayers say. Some people laugh when they see you crying. But when your tears are from the anointing, when your tears are from the presence of God, my tear ducts just well up and tears just come down my face when God manifests his presence in my home, hallelujah, in my room, when I'm prostrate before him. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with crying out to God. Hallelujah. The Lord gets close to the brokenhearted. And David, of course, he was broken. His kids were all messed up. He was being chased down, tracked down. Today, I would say he was stalked. They were after him. They had hits out on his life. The king, like the president of the United States, the king of the nation, was after him to kill him. All you need is one bad spirit to control your thoughts. And then you'll start attacking God's people. The woman with the alabaster box, she was broken. And she came before the feet of Jesus. You know, you can love somebody so much. I can love Jesus so much that I could fall prostrate before him and see his feet right there and lay my hands out like they were on his feet and just be broken because he died on the cross for me. He spared my life until I got saved. I know people whose lives weren't spared, but mine was, hallelujah. And that breaks me. Even right now, that breaks me to feel like even when I wasn't saved, I was a staunch Catholic, went to church, took communion. I didn't want to tell my sins to no priest in no dark booth, so I stopped going there. But I didn't tell them to anybody. I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I didn't know how to get born again when I was raised a Catholic. But I know that there are some Catholics that are born again. But I didn't become born again as a Catholic. And I can count the times that I could have been dead. I could think back over my life and number and think and name the things that God brought me through. Hallelujah. And the only thing I could do was give him praise. He let me live long enough and to receive Christ, to lead my Jewish grandmother to Jesus. And I feel like just that one life of being Jewish that I gain so much reward from heaven. Hallelujah. So I just want to thank God for you joining us. I am going to introduce you to my guest speaker right now. Thank you for listening to me. Everything I said was heartfelt. And I don't have any notes other than writing down those few people that I mentioned from the scripture, that when we know their stories, we know that they were broken people. But out of their brokenness, God blessed them mightily. So I want to introduce to you my friend, the bishop's wife. I went to elementary school with a young man named Sylvester Wright, and I knew his brother, Vincent Wright, and we went to elementary school together. We didn't know we were going to grow up to be ministers and bishops and vessels of the Most High God. Neither did our parents know it. But Bishop Wright's wife is on tonight, Minister Michelle D. Wright, a child of the King, our Most High God, to give a scripture of how the Lord has worked in her life. It would be Ephesians 3:20. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. She was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my hometown, and currently a resident in Horsham, Pennsylvania, where she met husband Bishop Sylvester Wright of Faith, Mercy, and Truth Ministries. The Lord has blessed her with a loving husband who loves the Lord and gives all his all to his ministry, our marriage, and our family. After our marriage in 2019, it was my desire, her desire, to support her husband's vision, the ministers and oversee churches, the ministries and oversee churches in three African countries, Pakistan and India. She sometimes ministers on the broadcast with her husband to the churches in Africa. It is her desire to be a blessing to him in any way the Lord would lead her. She also ministers and serves along her husband with the Word of Truth Healing and Deliverance Ministries. Before she gave full support to Faith, Mercy, and Truth Ministries, she was a member of First Baptist Church of Crestmont in Willow Grove, Pennsylvania, under the leadership of Pastor Jerome F. Coleman, who also performed their marriage ceremony. There she served as leader of their small group Bible study, Abundant Life Ministry. She also served as a chaplain in the intercessory prayer ministry, the servant leader of the Voices of Faith choir, and the chaplain of the drama ministry. She also was a member of New Covenant Church of Philadelphia, PA, under the leadership of Bishop C. Milton Granham, where she served as an assistant leader and a leader in their NetCare small group ministry, where she received two NetCare Leader of the Year awards. She also was involved with the Youth Alive ministry, where she served as president of the Parent Council Group for the parents of the youth. She also served there as an usher. That's the church that my bestie belonged to for 30 years, where her memorial was last Saturday. Minister Michelle Wright started her Christian walk with the Lord at Deliverance Evangelistic Church, that's my home church, under the leadership of Reverend Benjamin Smith. There she served with the New Convert Ministry. She is employed at Draeger Medical Systems Incorporated since 2005 as a senior payroll specialist. She has a job that she enjoys immensely because she's aware that her job is also an opportunity to minister for the Lord. The Lord always gives her opportunities to minister where she's planted. She gives him praise for the open doors. She's been educated in the Philadelphia school system and earned a bachelor's degree in business from Chestnut Hill College in Chestnut Hill, PA. That's a very good college. Her husband and her have a combined family of 5 children, 8 grandchildren, and 2 great-grandchildren. They are truly a joy and a blessing to her. She finds it a blessing to encourage the people of God and to look for ways to evangelize the lost. It is her heart's desire to continue to grow in the Lord and be used by him for his glory. Our God has shown himself to be a faithful and a merciful God, which is why she is honored and truly blessed to minister to the Lord as a minister to his, as she ministers to his people. Well, praise God. I have not read a bio that long in so long. As a matter of fact, I kind of stopped reading bios, but I thought that Minister Michelle should have her bio read, and I'm honored. I count it a privilege. She's unique. She's my elementary school friend's life partner, ordained by God, and I'm blessed to have you on the broadcast, Minister Michelle. Your mic is open. It's all yours. God bless you.
Praise God. Thank you, Evangelist Linda, and thank you for having me be a part of Gatekeepers Global Ministry. I am truly blessed and honored that you even asked me to do this message. And by my obedience and preparing this message, it has really just been a blessing to me. And I hope, as I was the first partaker of this word, that it will also bless those who hear it and that they will remember it and share it with others. So I would like to start out this message tonight. And we know that we just want all of you to be blessed and honored. And I thank you again for this opportunity. Thanks. There has been times in our lives when we had to face situations of uncertainty. In those times, it helped us to know that someone who meant a lot to us was close by. Of knowing someone who cared was near increased our confidence and removed our fears. Even after they witnessed the mistakes and or failures, just knowing they were close to even feel their embrace made even the shortcomings bearable. It even makes us feel better knowing when someone cares who have experienced the same disappointment, loss, or grief as ours. There's a better sense of relatability to that person. You will value their presence over anyone else's. Well, Jesus is like that relatable friend who knows our pains and understands the brokenhearted. We can lean on Jesus who knows what it's like to suffer in the flesh. Isaiah 53:3 tells us that he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Jesus, our high priest, can sympathize with our weaknesses. He was the only one who has been tempted in every way as we have been, but without sin. This is why we have an approachable God who we can approach boldly so we can find grace to help us in our time of need. Our need, my brothers and sisters, is to be fulfilled in this life. God made us only to be fulfilled in him, even though we try and try to let outside sources fill that place that only God can fill. As you recall, God created man in his own image and in his likeness, and that likeness is in the desire to have fellowship. God longs to have fellowship with us, and there is that same longing in us to have fellowship with him, and his longing for us will never cease, which is why the Lord is close. This leads to the message titled, The Lord is Close. I have two supporting verses for this message. Both I will read from New Living Translation. One is Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And Psalms 145:18. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. Jesus understood our Father was close during his time of ministry when he found himself in dark, lonesome places. One of these times was the night before the crucifixion. Jesus took his disciples with him to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed that this cup be taken from me, in Matthew 26:39. After the prayer, he found his disciples sleeping. He was grieved that they could not even pray with him for an hour. Jesus knew that in his period of disappointment, that our Father God was close. Saints, when people let you down, it breaks your heart. That is why God makes a point of being close to those who are brokenhearted.
Hallelujah.
Jesus knew how we would feel when our friends let us down, disappoint us, or even turn against us. He felt it in referring to when he would be denied and betrayed. His thoughts are found in Psalms 41:9. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. But he knew our Father was close, and that is who he trusted in to help him on his journey. Jesus knew how it felt to feel forsaken when God could not even look at the sin he became for us when he was nailed to the cross, when he cried out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus knew our Father God was close enough to hear his cry. Saints, I will reveal to you that oftentimes we think that God is close when things are going right. We feel like he's close when we are walking in victory. We can't really remember our shortcomings because everything is going fine. We are in the summer season of our spiritual life. It's not a time of mourning, but a time of rejoicing. So we think everything is right with the Lord, which makes our seeking after him. God knew there will be to come a time when he will need to seek after him, where we will need to seek after him with our heart. The necessary troubles and trials have a way of humbling us where we feel that we need the Lord more and more. There are reasons why God allows crisis, disappointments, or even loss in our lives. He re-enters into our lives with situations no man can fix. We are powerless, overwhelmed. Fears and insecurities emerge. But the good news is that God allows, creates, and uses all of these situations to demonstrate that he alone is God. In these times, we discover God because nothing will make you seek God like crisis, pain, and suffering. If you run from God in those times, you will discover running from God is not an answer. The psalmist wrote in Psalms 139:7-8, "Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Your right hand will hold on to me." Yes, it's better to seek the Lord in those times because of the promise given that those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. Psalms 34:10. Amen? My brothers and sisters, I'm here to let you know that there is a reason God is close to the brokenhearted. Based on my life and what I've learned from others when they are brokenhearted, I too, like them, was searching and looking for God. There's a desperate need to know that God has not forgotten you. So you search and search and search for his touch. You seek his face for an intimate word for you that you in your trying situation, to others for a word of encouragement. It is in those times where God is pleased to know that his child needs him, because he is a loving and comforting God who wants us to know that he's got us. Our God has been waiting for us to desire him in such a way that causes the heavens to open up and minister to his children. He sees us as his most special children because we can relate to the suffering of Christ. Those of us who are saved can look back and know that God was there the day, hour, moment, and second we gave our lives to him in total surrender due to our brokenness. Yes, God our Father was there at that moment of our salvation when we were weary from sin. That's when we uttered those words of belief in him. Lord God, please forgive me, save me, and come into my life. Brokenhearted saints, God is close to all who call on him in truth. And for those of you who have not yet to receive that and realize that you are tired and weary, Jesus offers you a way to get rid of the heavy burden and strain of living a sinful life without him. He bids you, come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will give you rest if you believe and call out to him. Know that the Lord is near as the breath you breathe. And remember that God is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. Let me point out times or bring to your remembrance when the Lord has been close to you. When you feel overwhelmed by your temptations, our God is close to rescue you from the floods that seem to overtake you. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptations will provide the way of escape, also so that you will be able to endure it. Saints, God has to be close so he can provide the way out. Amen. What about when we fall? We must acknowledge our sin by our confession, accept his forgiveness by running back to him so he can cleanse and restore us back into fellowship with him. For the righteous falls 7 times and rises up again, Proverbs 24:15. And when we fall, he picks us up because the Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. Psalms 145:14. We can cry out like David, who was a man after God's own heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Psalms 51:12. The Lord has to be close to catch you when you fall. What about when we need to be shielded from harm? The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever, Psalms 121:7. The Lord's presence makes us feel safe. The Lord has to be close so he can protect you from your dangers, aware and unaware. Knowing the Lord shields us from danger lets us know the Lord is close, redeeming our life from destruction. When we find ourselves going our own way, God tugs at our hearts to pull us back to him. We remember his promise in Psalms 103:4, who redeemed your life from destruction. who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who does this? The Lord our Savior, who is close. What about when we are in need of him? God is our deliverer who saves us in our times of weakness, times when we are afraid, distressed, or in trouble. When we cry out to him, he will hear our cry and save us. Yes, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. Psalms 34:15. Our God is close whenever we need him. He watches over all who love him. Saints, God is our refuge and strength, very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We can cry out to the Lord just as the poor man cried out to the Lord in Psalms 34:6. The Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. We can stand on this testimony that the Lord is close, close enough to be our present help to deliver us in our time of need. The Lord is close when we are lonely due to loss or a broken relationship. The Bible tells us that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, Proverbs 18:24. God wanted us to know that he is a dependable God, that he will never leave us or forsake us. Yes, saints, God has to be close to stick by us. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. My brothers and sisters, are you brokenhearted, feeling defeated, need comforting and encouragement? Well, God is close. He is as near to you as the very breath you breathe. Saints, let this be the time when you will desire to encounter or feel his closeness, so that when you call out to him with all your heart, he will answer you. Isaiah 65:24 promises, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. God is always testing your relationship with him. He allows things to come into your life to develop you. He wants to develop your spiritual character. My brothers and sisters, when things start to happen that sets you on edge and wants you to question God, do not lose sight that you serve a sovereign God. God is in control, and he knows what's best for your life. He knows the tests you need to take to walk through to become his warrior who does not shrink from battle. Let's look at how Jesus handled his testing in the desert. When Jesus was tested with food while he was fasting for his spiritual strength, he let Satan know that his bread was the very word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Jesus was also tested when Satan tried to manipulate or bribe him into disobeying his father. This was a test Satan used by misinterpreting the scriptures to test him. Jesus replied, "Do not tempt the Lord thy God." Then Satan tried to offer Jesus the kingdom of this world, which is idolatry. This temptation was intended for Jesus to take the shortcut and walk away from the way of the cross. Satan's manipulation was to get Jesus to worship him. What did Jesus tell Satan? "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." We are tested in these same areas. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. To avoid these pitfalls in our time of testing, we must remain in worship to the Lord who is close. Amen? How do you make it through those times of testing? Do you wait on him for your strength to be renewed each day? You must know that God is close to you while you are waiting on him. In your waiting, you are learning more and more about the God you serve. Your prayer life increases while you are waiting on him. Your Bible becomes more like your food as you wait on him. And while in these times he is equipping you to have joy in the midst of your sorrow, it might be important for you to increase your faith in this time of testing by reflecting back on the past times when you were in the same place and you knew the Lord was near. You knew the Lord was close because he brought you through. There's another challenge you will discover when you are going through your suffering. You will have to wait on him to move. The Spirit of the Lord keeps you still so you can see yourself moving towards your deliverance. Then you remember there is a blessing in your suffering. God gave promises to those who suffer. He shows the blessing you will receive if you go through your suffering with the grace that he provides. Matthew 5:3-12 is a familiar passage that is described as the Beatitudes. It is called the Beatitudes because it shows how to be when these things come upon you. It reveals how we are to check our attitude to know the promise of the reward if we remain sanctified, courageous, and full of compassion. These are virtues needed as we continue this road of suffering. Let's look on each of these Beatitudes that I will call, if you are, then he'll do. Hopefully you'll discern that the Father is always providing in the midst of those in your most uncomfortable situation we encounter in life. These show that the Lord is close to you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Because of these promises, we are to rejoice. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Our suffering while we remain in Christ consists of heartbreaks, loss, disappointment, pain, and loneliness, just to name a few. Saints, this is called cross-bearing. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Our Lord is close by indwelling us with the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised us that he will send us a comforter. He is a person who would be so close that he will reside in us. That person is of the Godhead, and his name is God, the Holy Spirit. God wanted us to have his closeness with us at all times, which is why he said he will not leave us comfortless. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. Now it is time to rely on his strength, saints. We can acknowledge that when I'm weak, he's strong. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And when we do not know what to pray for during these times of struggle, we can rely on the Holy Spirit himself to intercede for us according to God's will. We are then comforted. After God's word of comfort are spoken to your soul, you receive confidence in the God who restores and casts out all. There's a feeling that overtakes you, that if the mountains fall into the earth or the sea, you will not fear. God's perfect love will grab you, take hold of you, and it will cast out all fear. How can you fear when you believe your God is near? Our Lord is close. Then you're able to confess and say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. You too can be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God has forgiven you. Just as Jesus was filled with compassion for us, we can have that same compassion for others who are going through rough times. Someone needs to know, saints, that the Lord is close. Your experiences in the dark times are for developing your message for the light times. There are times when you are in your summer phase of our victory. That's when the anointing of God is there for you to share with others who are now in their dark times. Share with them that the Lord is close. You will notice that you are most effective when you minister to someone who is going through something similar that you went through yourself. You are aware of God's anointing as you share, listen, or even nod in understanding. During these times, you might have a testimony to share to God's wounded soldier that they can be encouraged by. Also, just sharing a testimony reaffirms to you how God brought you through and that he is faithful to his word and that
yes.
He is close to the brokenhearted. Saints of God, just as Jesus prayed to the folks in St. John 17, he also prayed for us who are his and for those who will become his. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gave me, I have kept, and none of them are lost. Verse 13, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. My brothers and sisters, our suffering in this world comes because we are not of this world. Our lifestyle will always be contrary to the world, and that is what causes our constant battles. That is why Jesus said in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Father, will keep us close and protected as we walk contrary to this world's standards. When he prayed in verse 15, I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but you will keep them from the evil. Jesus prayed to the Father for our commission. As he was sent, so we are sent to minister to in the world. Jesus prayed that we would be one with the Father and that the glory which he has received, we would glorify the Father by being one. We can now be close to one another as Jesus and the Father are close, as the Father is close to us. In closing, saints, we must encourage one another because we've been encouraged. Someone needs to know that the Lord is close to those who have a broken heart, and he saves those who are who has a crushed spirit. Someone needs to know that the Lord is close to all who call out to him, to all who call out to him with integrity. Someone needs to know that he hears their cry for help so he can save them. Saints, the Lord is close and he wants us to know it and for us to tell others to taste and see that the Lord is good. How
Hallelujah.
Happy is the person who takes refuge in him. How secure is the person who knows and believes the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirit is crushed. And when we call out to the Lord, he is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. Yes, saints, our God is our closeness. How happy are those who believe the Lord is close. Because he is a shield about us. Hallelujah. The Lord is close. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, saints, for listening.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I've been ministered to, and I believe that everybody that's listening that has dialed in, quite a few have dialed in, and anybody that's streaming, the Lord is close. I mean, I don't think I could have had another guest to break it down under the anointing power of the Holy Ghost like Minister Michelle just did. Thank you so much. I want to give all the listeners an opportunity to put in their prayer requests. If you are streaming in and you have a prayer request, you're going to have to dial in. You're going to have to turn the volume off on your streaming or down low as you can get it and dial 929-477-2442, 929-477-2442, and press 1, and I'll open your mic. If you've already dialed in and you want a prayer request, you want us to pray for you, you have a prayer request, just press 1, and I'll open your mic and give you an opportunity to share what you want prayer about. I just thank you for that word, Minister Michelle. It was powerful, very detailed and thorough. I appreciate you, young lady. And I know that all the listeners from around the world, if they're not listening live tonight, they will be listening on demand, will be encouraged, and will understand just how close the Lord is to us on a daily basis, and even closer when we're going through something. So if you have a prayer request and you've dialed in, just press 1, and we'll open your mic, and we'll take your prayer request, and we'll pray for you right now. I appreciate it when somebody's praying for me. Very few people do I ask to pray for me. Very few. Mm-hmm. Hold on. I have someone.
Thank you, Jesus.
The last 4 digits of your number, 5234. Good evening, caller.
Hi. How are you, Evangelist? This is Bishop.
Hey, Bishop. How you doing?
I had to be obedient.
Do you have a prayer request?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I want to pray. I ask for prayer. I don't want to pray, but I ask for prayer for the presence of God's light to be with the people of God so that they can be effective, especially in my life and in terms of being in the world and letting our light shine and being the salt, as Jesus said, of the earth. So I ask for that kind of prayer, that prayer.
Okay, Minister Michelle, you're on.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we glorify you. We thank you, God, for our need to know that while we're in this world, Lord, we know we're going to have persecutions, God, and things are going to come at us, God. But we know, God, that you said that you will never leave us or forsake us. Father, we ask that you would just give your people courage to stand up in you and be a light in the midst of darkness. Let them, God,
yes,
in the name of Jesus, move about, God, where people will ask them for the hope that is within them. God, in the name of Jesus, that they will look to you, Lord God, and know that you are with them and that they don't have any need to fear, because your perfect love casts out fear. We come against fear, God, that causes people not to stand up for you, not to stand up for righteousness.
Yes.
God, we ask that they will be bold, God, in you. If this devil is bold in his sin, God, we ask that you will cause your people to be bold in their righteousness. We ask this,
yes,
in your Lord Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Father, I pray for Bishop and his request concerning the body of Christ, and I ask God that you would shower your blessings, Lord, upon your people, the remnant. I ask God that the little tiny light that burns on the inside will blaze like a roaring fire, Lord God, and that would touch those people around them, that by that Holy Spirit flame, the people around them would be drawn to Jesus Christ, that they won't even understand or know what's happening, but that they will be drawn to Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, Ruach HaKodesh, we ask that you would draw our family members, the young people in our family, our coworkers, those people around us that think it's a joke walking with God. Huh? Let them see what a serious thing it is, what an honorable and noble thing it is to walk with the Master. Let them experience it and humble themselves and repent and call upon your name. We thank you. You healed people before they got saved. Show yourself mighty in the earth, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and pour out your spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Work the works, Lord God, through us, that you would be glorified. Hallelujah. And we give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else that is on the line that has called in can press 1, and I will open your mic so that you can share with us. Thank you, Renee, for joining us tonight. I ask God to bless you, your family, give you rest and comfort in your body, your soul, in Jesus' name. I know you didn't answer that prayer, but I know you're on the line listening, and I thank God for you and your friendship. Anyone else that has called in, if you're still streaming in and you want to share a prayer request, you can dial 929-477-2442 and give us your prayer request.
Linda.
It's good to, yeah?
Evangelist Linda, I just wanted to let you know this morning the Lord gave me this song. I could sing it while we wait for a prayer request. It's
okay, good.
Okay. The Lord is close. Yeah, close to the broken heart. The Lord is close, yeah, close to the broken heart. The Lord is close, yeah, close to the broken heart. He rescues you. He comforts you. The Lord is close. He rescues you. He comforts you. The Lord is close. Amen.
Praise God. I like that. See, God never runs out of tunes. We don't have to go to the secular music and put Bible words to some sinful rapper's music, you know, and make it our own and start singing it and then bring the weak believers back into the world again with the beat. And God never runs out of a melody and a song. That was beautiful, Michelle. Thank you for sharing that with us. Come on, I know somebody has a prayer request. Press 1. And I'll see your number light up, and we'll open your mic so you can share your prayer request with us. I give God all the praise, honor, and glory. Bishop, would you like to say something else to us this evening?
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that that I've learned, especially I was just thinking about you offering people to call in for their prayer requests. And a lot of times we get an invitation and God is calling us. The word tells us that Jesus made the distinction. He made the statement. He said, no one can come to God, no one can come to the Father unless they come through him. And no one can come to him unless the Father draws him, calls him, draw him. Okay. So God is calling you. God is speaking to you. Then to reach out also. David said, I want to seek your face. Set my face like flint, he said. So when you make an offer for someone to call in, you know, to have a prayer request, I don't care about nobody else. I'm not judging nobody. But I just learned something as I was listening to you continuing to invite someone to call. I would take that opportunity to pray to anybody, somebody the Lord is saying, you know, you need to step out. You got some stuff going on or getting ready to go on. You might not even see, but it's come. Because the Bible tells us that God tries us. It's for testing of our faith. So I just want to say that to you, and I encourage anybody that is listening, you know, to just reach out and say, Lord, you're near. So God is, the Bible says, where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst.
Yeah.
So why not step in the altar? Why not step in the stream? Why not step in the atmosphere? Why not step in the anointing and get your prayer request, or at least God search your heart? Even just that, forgive me, Lord. Search my heart and see if there's any transgression. If there's a need, you'll meet it. That's all I got to say.
Amen. Well, I know God's meeting needs, and he's meeting well over needs. So if anybody has a major need right now, hallelujah, that you're believing God for, financial, health-wise, any other way, whatever your need is, press 1. I'll open your mic, and we can pray with you. I love to pray and intercede for someone else. We have a prayer team on the day we distribute food at the church. We have 100 and some cars lined up around the driveway. Some people that we ask, can we pray for? They say yes. Others say no. People have called the church that so-and-so prayed for me, and I was healed. So-and-so prayed for me. I went to the doctor, and it was changed. So-and-so prayed for me, and the tumor was benign. So-and-so prayed for me, and my kids got blessed. My daughter got saved. My friend was healed. So you can make a prayer request for somebody else that has a need, and we'll pray for them. And you don't even have to tell them we prayed for you. And you can watch God move, because the Lord is close. He's listening. He's watching. He's enjoying this. Anything that we say about the Lord that honors him, he's just sitting back like Big Papa and just enjoying it. Hallelujah. And we give God all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. So if you have children that need a closer walk with the Lord, need to be saved, the seed was planted and watered, and God will give the increase. And we can pray for God to give the increase. We're going to pray for that anyway right now.
Michelle, why don't you pray for all the listeners that are listening tonight and will be listening on demand at another time, that where the seed of salvation was planted, where it was been watered, and somebody that's rebellious and stubborn needs God to put on the increase, needs to be broken, where they would fall at his feet and say, yes, Lord, I want you in my heart as Lord and Savior. So you can pray, Minister Michelle.
Okay. Father, as we come before you again, Lord, we bring this need before you, God, of our loved ones, our neighbors, our children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, cousins, all those that are on the sideline of salvation that still have not really stepped and put their foot, God, in the center, God, where they can receive your son, Jesus. Father, we pray, God, that you will continue, God, to draw them, Lord. We ask, God, that they have no rest, God, that they will continue to hear, God, their grandparents, their aunts, their uncles, oh, God, and all those that have been calling out to them to accept Jesus Christ. God, sometimes we know our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and our nephews and all of them that are close to us. Sometimes, God, they don't want to hear from us. But, God, you know how to send a stranger. You know how to send a neighbor. You know how to save their friend, oh, God, to cause their friend to make them to lead them to the Lord, oh, God. We know, God, that you know how to do things your way. Father, we get out the way, God, and ask that you would move mightily, God, in this situation to bring lives, God, to you. God, we ask that they will not be lost, God. Those you said that are yours will not be lost. But, God, we ask that they will come to you before, God, they have to go through things, God, that they might not want to experience. So, Father, we ask that your merciful hand will start to draw them. We ask, God, in the name of Jesus, that they will continue, God, to hear from you, that there won't be a time, God, where you turn and it will be the last time, Father, that they will not leave this earth, God, anyone under the sound of my voice or anyone with their children that are praying for their children, that they will not leave this earth without saying yes to the Lord. Father, we have confidence in knowing. You said that you will save us and our households. So, Father,
yes,
we thank you. We glorify you. We praise you, God, for the answer. We thank you for doing it, God. We love you for it, God. And we ask this in your son Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Now, we just pray for you anyway, those that are listening. Hallelujah. I believe everybody on here has family, and so we just covered all that for you.
Yeah.
So I thank God. Hallelujah. I certainly gave my heart into talking about how close the Lord has been. And when you hear him speak to you, however he chooses to speak to you, that is an overwhelming holy moment to know for sure that the Lord is close. Just like the woman with the alabaster box, she had to step in. She had to go where he was. She had to go where he was before other men that were talking against her, that were complaining about her. And she, against all odds, just walked in the house and fell at his feet and anointed him the best way she knew how, with everything she owned and had. Isn't that something? That the Lord values your worship. more than anything. You worship him in spirit and in truth. And I believe that's what we've done tonight. Just to clarify to you that just because you streamed in or called in, that you want a closer, closer walk, a closer embrace, a closer touch, just to be close to him. Hallelujah. And it's part of his plan to draw you. It's part of his plan to call you. He knows you by name. He can also call you by your new name. And then you're wondering, well, what was that? Because we're all going to get a new name in glory. And only God knows that. But I remember a lady from my church. She was dying, but she was in a place of joy. And the pastor did a little video of her and showed it on a Sunday morning. And she said the Lord called her by her new name. So even while you're here, he can call you. If he can trust you with it, he can call you by your new name. I mean, that would guarantee me that I'll be getting in heaven. Hallelujah. So get rapture ready. Reassure yourself that you're part of the remnant, that your heart, your soul is on fire for God, that every day he has a special place in your heart. He's on your agenda. He's in your time. And you give him all the praise, honor, and the glory. Okay. One last request. Those of you that have called in, if you have a prayer request, we can still take it. Just press 1 and your number will light up and I'll open your mic. And I thank God for all the examples in the Word that cried out to God. Hallelujah. You can be a millionaire and be a poor man. You can have everything and be a poor woman. Hallelujah. Everybody needs prayer. Everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs somebody to encourage and to encourage them. God just made us like that. Hallelujah. So I'm going to close out the broadcast tonight, thanking all of you for joining us. Minister Michelle Wright, Bishop Wright, thank you both for lighting up the broadcast tonight, the podcast, mm-hmm. Hallelujah, with your word, your voice, your song, your encouragement, your prayers. This is not as good as it gets. We have another broadcast coming up next Thursday night called Prophetically, Where Are We? Prophetically, Where Are We? I got some real prophets that are going to minister on next Thursday, clean prophets with a powerful word. I thank you for joining us tonight. I know without a shadow of a doubt that this message has lightened up your soul, has set you free of something, has encouraged your heart and ministered to you. I know it encourages my heart to be the go-between, to use this podcast to remedy a problem, to heal somebody, to lead someone to Christ, to reach out across the ocean, to reach out in another country, another land. If you have not
given your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it right now. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. We've talked enough about him. You ought to want to get closer. And this is your opportunity to get closer and to invite Christ in your life. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I give you my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising from the dead, that I would have eternal life. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for Calvary. Lead me and guide me, Jesus, into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Now, if you've said that prayer and you've said it from your heart, then you've just given your life to Christ, made the best decision in your life. I don't care how old you are, from a toddler to 100 or 110 or 5. People are living that long these days. I just watched a funeral of a woman of God that lived to be 105 years old. My Lord, did she reach out to a lot of people. So count yourself blessed. I believe God, the Holy Spirit, to lead you to a church. Get yourself a Bible. If you don't have one, somebody you know in your family has one in their house. Ask them if you can borrow it until you can get one. And first read the Gospel of John and ask God for an obedient spirit. So I thank you for those of you that have given your life to Christ tonight, and I'm going to close out the broadcast now. And most of you believers that are listening should know what this means. Only what you do for Christ will last. Throughout time and eternity, only what you do for Christ will last. Thank you, Bishop Wright. Thank you, Mrs. Bishop Michelle Wright. I love you, girl. I appreciate that word. I was very ministered to. Bless my soul. God bless you. Come join us again. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Cazares. Would you want to say?
No, I just say God bless you. Thank you.
Okay. I am the CEO and founder of Gatekeepers Ministry International, and I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Cazares saying good night. God bless you, and have God dreams.